Okay, great. Sorry. Like an old man, like, oh, what's this? Though after having kids, the young ones do call me old man. It's they're like, oh, so people from your generation or from your age group, I'm like, we're not very different. Like, oh, yeah, you old man. I'm like, thanks. Hi, so good afternoon. My name is Chung or Chung-en. My wife, Jasmine, is with our son. She said she can't be here. But it's because I just came back from Cape Town last night. I'm jet-lagged me. So if anything is incoherent, it's because I'm jet-lagged after flying almost 24 hours. So I flew on Friday, got back yesterday, and here I am. Hallelujah. I was so long on the plane, it was like, woo! So it's my privilege to share with you guys this morning. Better turn on the timer. Or this afternoon. And yeah, it's morning. In morning in South Africa now. And yeah, thank you, Pastor Richard, for the kind words. That was very, very kind. All right. Yep. Oh. Wow. Was that a coincidence? Wow. What happened? So I got your attention, all right? All right, so, my name is Chung, and yeah, I come from Malaysia. I was born in Canada, but grew up in Malaysia. And I was actually in South Africa, as I told you, and I thought this would be a very apt beginning for us. Oh, coincidence that the power went out. Because in South Africa, they have this thing called load shedding, whereby there is not enough electricity for all of the people, so they're put on a schedule where the electricity just turns off sometimes for 2 hours at a time, sometimes 3 hours at a time, sometimes 3.5 hours, 4 hours, so that there's enough electricity for everyone to at least have power for a portion of the day. And so what some people do is they buy generators, and some people buy solar panels, solar power, so that they can keep having electricity. Or if you're not so rich, you maybe buy like a small motor generator to power maybe your modem or to power your TV. And my friends there were laughing. They're like, some families, they have two generators. One is for something else and one is for the TV. And they're like, of all the appliances in your house, you buy a generator for your TV so that you can watch TV when there's no power. But I was just reminded that how many of us, when things go wrong, we supplement God's presence with something else. All right, like when we are feeling it's like a hard day, it's hard time, I'm feeling pressure, I'm not sure where God is, I've prayed, He hasn't answered, so I'll go to something else because I need to supplement. I need some kind of comfort, I need power, I need peace. Yeah, and it's like those times when, because I went to South Africa, nope, I didn't have internet for a little bit, and you feel just so itchy. Your fingers are like, oh yeah, I got no signal. All right, I got no SIM card. Oh yeah, I can't text. Oh yeah, I can't even receive a text. But it's like, God is still there. And yeah, Robert, thank you. So Pastor Richard asked me to share about how to live a missional life. And so I just titled this time With Him. Because missional living or missional life is not just this like super complicated thing, but it's following Jesus, walking with Him for His purposes. To do His will, not just abiding, resting for me, but for Him. It's with Him. So the first question is, what are you connected to? Yeah? How much do you invest in life with what is seen? Or how much do you invest in life is what is unseen? Okay, I have to... power. All right, with Him, Oh, is this on? Yeah. All right. So, missionaries, in one of the meanings of missionaries are the sent ones. Okay? So, and sometimes that's where we have the concept of overseas, like cross-cultural missionaries, or sometimes we have the concept of local missionaries. Because what are they? They're sent out by God to do His will, to His purpose. So, missional living can be regardless of geography. It means that we are sent out as ambassadors to communicate and to demonstrate the gospel through words and through actions. And what purpose? To reach the world for Jesus. Is that okay? So whether we are local, whether we are here in our own neighborhood, reaching our co-workers, our family, our colleagues, our fellow students, or going like Matt and Ed's to Thailand to reach people who speak a different language. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." I think that's really God's heart, is that all people, all nations, all cultures, backgrounds will come back in relationship to Him. Because He's for people. Okay? Woo. So, I'm going to share a little bit my story first, and I'll connect my story with different principles and ideas and some passages in the Bible. Is that cool? Yeah. All right. So, I grew up in a Christian family. My dad, as Pastor said, he's a pastor, or in the brethren circles, he's called an elder before. If you know a brethren, yeah, there's no pastor. It's normally elders because they are a group of leaders who decide together, corporately, the direction of the church. So, I grew up in a normal Malaysian, got to emphasize, normal Malaysian Asian family, whereby we go to church. It's not that you question whether you go to church, but you just go to church. Sometimes my favorite cartoons were in the morning, so it's a little bit hard, like X-Men, but you know, still go to church. My parents really loved me, and it was a really solid foundation. But still, I was insecure, still I was easily angered. I knew God loved me, but it's like, what's happening? Like, I'll do quiet time in the mornings, but go to church and then I forget it. I mean, go to school. And by the time walking to school, I'm like, oh, I can't remember what I read so fervently and religiously by the window in my room. But God is real. Like, I knew Him, but it was just the process of really knowing Him in life. So, yeah, in university, my mom got sick with cancer and then she passed away. And it was a real shocking time for me because I was like, my mom is like missions coordinator, intercessor, loves Jesus so much, and how did God not answer our prayers to heal her? And so that was the first big rocking in my life. And after crying and like wondering everything, I realized that a choice, I had to trust myself or trust God. And I was like, God, you allow my mom, who we love so much, to pass away. So from that moment, I was like, all right, God, I don't like it, but you are more powerful. You are supposedly perfect, so I trust you. So that's been a process to build my life. And it was the year, 2 years after that, I came to Perth after I graduated from university to do a discipleship training school, which is a six-month missional school. Teaches you how to know God and to make Him known. And I thought, I come from Brethren Church, I'm going to save the world or whatever, but in the Asian kind of way. Like, so I keep quiet, let everyone talk or whatever, but you show them with action. Let everyone ask what to express verbally, but show with action. I don't know, if you're that you understand or not, but some people are like, it's cross-culture, okay? Cross-culture. Yeah. So I came to do my DTS. It's discipleship training school. And it's on my DTS, God really, really revealed Himself to me in a new way. Like on the second week of school, I knew that God loves me. But second week of school, the speaker was saying, you know, nothing you can do can make God love you more. I was like, yeah, everyone knows that. Who doesn't know that? We're just singing about it in worship. Pastor Jeremy was talking about it. And suddenly the Holy Spirit was like, boom! He's like, even if I don't do anything for the rest of my life, God still loves me 100%. And I was like, whoa. So I realized, like, what's the need for insecurity? What's the need for all this fear when God fully and wholly knows me and I belong to Him? And so that was really foundational. So I knew it, but it went deeper. Like, it's like heart and mind connection. So I'm an engineer. I did engineering, but I haven't worked, right? So different people, oh, you didn't work. So it's during the week 7 or 8 of the school that the base leader was saying, all right, I want you to pray and ask God about your calling in life, not just next step, but bigger picture. So I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. My agent, I didn't say whatever, but I'm thinking whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, everyone will get their own big vision or whatever. I'm just here. I'll do my one thing and step by step. So the next morning, Perth, beautiful, blue sky. I go out, have my quiet time early on Saturday morning. Totally like nonchalant, totally like, yeah, you know, God, I have to ask because the leader said you have to ask, but really not expecting anything. So I go out, like, God, what's my calling in life? And I look up in the sky, and suddenly, there's China in the sky. Like, I kid you not. Like, super huge words. And I'm, like, freaking out. Is it okay to say this word? Sorry. I am, like, freaking out. I'm like, I wasn't screaming, but my heart was screaming. Because engineer think implicationally, I'm like, no. Means no money. Means you got to go to this person, you suffer for Jesus, and all these things. And I was like, oh, God, and I felt God said, do you trust me? I was like, yes, Lord. Then God said, go. Ah! So I was like, okay, maybe I'm just dreaming. And I was like, if I look up the second time, it's not there, right? And I'm like, I look up, it's still there in the sky. No! Sorry, and I'm not kidding you, like, how old was I? 22-year-old. I was freaking out. Never thought in my life any kind of concept of these kind of things. I was like, I'll serve Jesus, you know, maybe worship team, maybe youth, or, you know, once in a while, I'll do something, but it's my time. And God's like, do you trust me? He said, go. And so that was the beginning of the process for me, and because I couldn't speak Mandarin before I went, so I'm what you call banana, 100% pure, like yellow on the outside, white on the inside, and since I spoke English. And then I come to Australia, some people ask me, so, how long have you spoken English? I'm like, forever. Oh, is it hard for you? No. So what's your mother tongue? English. Oh. And in China, it's the same. People speak Mandarin, and I'm Chinese by race, but they're like, what's happening? So yeah, that was the background, and it's through confirmation and things with my church and prayer that God was like, you should go. And some aunties in my church, classic, were like, oh, a boy, you are giving the golden years of your life to Jesus, huh? I was like, it's not just golden, like, all my years belong to Jesus. Supposed to be, right? But it's theory versus practical. So I went, and I was in China for, yeah, almost 10 years. That's where I met my wife, got married. That's where I met Ernest. I mean, I met Ernest just before, but that's where I really got to know them. Amazing. And yeah, that was the beginning of my journey. And so it's this thing of abiding. One of the verses that God gave me from John 15, that I will give you fruit, and fruit that lasts, that remains. And it was one of the words that I really clung on to, and because it's really such a step of faith for me. Okay, so the word abide, if you look at the Greek, there are different verbs. They're like to remain, to continue, to be held, not to depart, to survive, to live. And God was like, you know, if I want you to go with me, can you remain with me where I go? As in God. And I was like, oh, but sometimes I think of rest and abide as in stationary. But it's the stationary to the reference point, which is God. So if God says rest, don't move, it's rest, don't move. If God says rest while moving, it means rest while moving. So it's like I ask you the question about social media or like connection, right? It's like, what do we invest in? And that the trust of God is something that's cultivated. It's not something that, oh, I just think a magical, oh yeah, you know, I'll just suddenly feel super faith that I just gotta do what God wants me to do. But oftentimes it's the, everything is going crazy and I just can choose. So I was in South Africa. We were there for international DTS meetings. So leaders for this discipleship training school from around the world gathered. There were 30 people from 35 nations and there were 150 people there. And we were actually talking about John 14, 15, 16, which was quite interesting because I got John 15 before that. And they were talking about abiding, being with Jesus and staying close. And when I looked around at all kinds of nations, worshiping in African, worshiping in English, and saying, Jesus, you're worthy of it all. I was like, wow, he really is so worthy. And you know the thing is, right? God says we belong to him. Hallelujah, we belong to him. But the truth is that belonging is like in name, right? It's like what we are. God, as the Father, says we are his children, we belong to him. But our part is to abide. I can belong but not be home. I can belong but be far away, or I can belong and be close. Like position myself close. Okay? And in John 15, again, 12:5 says, this is my commandment. You love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves. For slaves, a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all these things I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. The unconditional love of God should produce life. It should produce life, and it should bring overflowing. But sometimes the world says, if it's not instant, if it's not seen, if it's not physically tangible, then it's not all that. But those are lies. That we need to really look at the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 7, verse 38 says, he who believes in me, as scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It doesn't say you will feel like it will flow rivers of living water. It doesn't say you will physically see living water, but it says living water will flow. So for me, the challenge was, God says, you're okay, because I'm here. But there are many times when I knew it, but I didn't feel it. So there was one time when I was in China, my leader, who's this amazing Norwegian Kiwi guy, super solid, speaks Mandarin like a local. One day he's like, Chung, I think I'm done leading this DTS. It's your turn. And I did the Asian thing like, no. You're still alive. You're still very capable. You're still healthy. There's no physical reason, but he's like, yeah, it's for you. So he said, go and pray. And I'm like, no. I don't want to be responsible. I'm still young. And they will look to him. He's like a, he's Westerner. They respect him more than me, like Chinese. But I remember I was in Perth, so I was praying in a park one night. It was windy, it was cold. I was like, God, do you want me to start leading this six-month school we had in China? And God showed me a picture of like a dark valley full of like lava holes, like lava steam and everything. And he said, I'm with you. And I will walk with you through the valley. I was like, no, that's the wrong thing, God, wrong. But it's this fear in me that, you know, what if I fail? You know, what if I do the wrong thing? Or what if I disappoint God? But God didn't say anything, but he's like, I'm with you. And because I'm with you, you are okay. And you will be okay. Even when there's hardship, even when you're trusting God to raise a lot of money. So, yeah, we trusted God for a lot of money. Every school, we needed about 20 times 16, almost 300,000 Chinese money for everyone to go on outreach. And sometimes some people just got saved, some people didn't have finance. So every time, it was a miracle that God provided all this money for people to go on outreach. All right. And there are these guys called the Moravians. I don't know if you guys have heard. There's this Moravian church. But it started actually in Germany, where they had more than 100 years of unbroken prayer and intercession. But the guy who started it, Count Zinzendorf, how he started was, it was during university. He had finished, and he went for a trip, and in Dusseldorf, he saw this painting in the art museum by this guy, Domenico Fetti. The name of the painting is, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ike Homo, home, which means behold the man. And below this painting was written this phrase, I have done this for you. What have you done for me? You as in us, me as in God. And it really changed his life. He's like, I have done many things, but I haven't really done anything for God. And these Moravians, they, as they were worshiping and praying, God called them, some of them, to go serve in faraway places. Yeah, there's one time, So some of them knew that they couldn't go to certain places to serve. So what they did was they sold themselves into slavery so that they could go serve in some among the slave groups, like in the West Indies. So because they knew they as normal person, they have no way in, so they sold themselves as slaves so that they could reach the slaves. And some of them bought coffins as their luggage and they packed up their stuff. And there's one time when two of them were on a ship sailing off, they said, Worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive the reward of his suffering. They were shouting to their families on the shore. So, you know, living a missional life really is learning to say yes to Jesus, not just in the big things, but in the small every day. I feel like this, but Jesus, what do you think? I feel like this, but Jesus, what will be pleasing to you? Okay, and in Mark 8:34, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So it's this surrender on a daily basis. All right, next one. So first one is to know God. Next one is to be known. As in, to be known as someone who loves and serves. Thanks. Yeah, to be known as someone who loves and serves like God. Okay? Because in theory, we know we got to love God, but what happens when you don't feel like it, when you're sick, when you're tired, when you feel like you've been serving every week, but other people haven't been serving. And God says, some more. So for me, what has helped is that there have been people around me, people who care for me, love me and know me, who release, and it's this relational connection that helps me to keep moving forward, even though they're different. And it's during this gathering last week, where they met people from many different nations, as we were worshiping God, God revealed this to me. He said, I am selfless. He didn't say anything more, he didn't say anything less, and I was just blown away. I was like, straight away, I could think of all the times I've been selfish. All the times when maybe I didn't want to do this, I didn't feel like doing that, I didn't feel like encouraging, didn't feel like smiling, didn't feel like being present. And God said, I am selfless. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. Jesus is the opposite of self-seeking. And if I want to become like Jesus, it means I have to become more selfless. And it's hard to hear, right? So it's like, you know, if we do ministry, if no one notices what you do, if you do something for Jesus, that no one says thank you, or you did such a great job, or wow, such amazing. But if God says, well done, is that enough? It's like this picture of water flowing, and if the body of Christ, everyone is trying to get more water from themselves, the water is not going to keep flowing to people who need it. You understand what I mean? If like there's a river flowing, but the body is just trying to suck as much water as possible, as opposed to pour out, how's the water going to reach people who haven't heard? How's the water going to reach people who need love on the streets? Do you understand what I mean? So it's not that we self-sacrifice until we lose our mental health. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But it's when we are loved to fullness, we let it overflow. We let it pour out. Because selfishness blocks and hinders unity. All right, I was going to show this clip from Endgame, Avengers Endgame. I had this big idea, but it didn't work out. Keynote, Apple just blocks certain things. So, how many have watched Avengers Endgame? No. I might spoil it then, but it's okay. If you haven't watched it now, 5 years later, maybe it might be a while before you watch it, right? So it's okay. So my journey in China began in 2009, and the first Iron Man came out in 2008. And Avengers Endgame came out in 2018, and it's in 2009, about 2019, where we realized that we couldn't go back to China because of some security issues. All right? So for me, when I watch Endgame, I watched with my wife, and we were wearing glass, the 3D glasses, and I was like sobbing, all the sacrifice, Iron Man. Thanos is like, I am inevitable. He clicks, and then he cannot click because there are no Infinity Stones. Iron Man has taken it, and it's super drama. And then he's, I am Iron Man. Then he clicks, and he saves everyone. I was like, crying because it encapsulated my journey in China, where it was just many years of, yeah, following Jesus with hard work, but also seeing fruit, but realizing that we cannot go back. And it's this sacrifice that, where is the fruit that I want to see? But Jesus, like, you're following me. So after that, I asked my wife, do you see me crying? She's like, no. She was just watching the movie. I was like, oh. Because it was the themes about working towards a purpose, united, working in teams, sacrifice, and hard work. So when Iron Man clicked, I was like, oh, He sacrificed. I sacrificed too. Okay. And God was showing me Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But the rest is not the normal kind of rest. He says, take my yoke. What? I thought rest means don't do anything. Jesus says, come and rest by taking on my yoke. Super countercultural, all right? Learn from me. Not just take my yoke, but learn. Oh, when I finish school, I don't learn anymore, right, Jesus? Jesus says, no, you still gotta learn from me. So after China, the challenge for me and my wife was that if we had spent so many years of our life following Jesus, but suddenly we couldn't go back, what do we have left after that? People have their reputation, people have videos, people have statistics, but like some of our videos and photos were lost. People, yeah, stopped connecting with us so that they'll be safe in China. And it's like, where's the glory? And then we really get tested, like, is my value and purpose in people or is it in Jesus? I serve people because God says to serve, to love people. So my question for you is, when you feel hurt, when you feel offended, when you feel tired, what is your motivation for loving the people around you? When there's misunderstanding, when you don't get what you want relationally, what drives you to keep loving the people around you? It's not very big, right? But it's this disunity that stops people from together reaching what Jesus wants us to do. Hope you get what I mean. All right, and the third one, so first one is know God. Second, to be known as someone who loves and serves. Number three is make him known. On the way to South Africa, I was listening to some worship music without my kids. I was traveling, and I was like, wow, this is the life. For those who have kids, and if you haven't traveled with the young kids, it's like, whoa. The aeroplane was like, ding, 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 last call, last call. I was just chilling. Then final call, I stood up. I just slowly walked. I'm like, I am so chill. Nothing is stressed in my body right now. I know my seat will be there, and I know I have the capability to walk slowly to my seat and then put my bag up, sit down, and the plane will leave. But it was this thing where God is like reaffirmed his love for me. And it's a moment where I just got to be quiet and God is like, you know, when you are full of my love, you can do anything. When you are full of my acceptance, you can flow anywhere. And I was like, ooh, that was, so I like write it down. John 15, you did not choose, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit and fruit that will remain. You ask, whatever you ask for Father in my name, he may give you. So in China, when I first got there, we had this thing called a homeless ministry, kind of like Eagle City Mission, where we would go every week and buy food, like buns and stuff, to give to the homeless, sit down with them and talk with them. And from that, we saw people saved and we started like Bible studies and things. But the funny thing was, I couldn't speak Mandarin. So in my humility, I had to ask at the beginning for translation for everything. So that the homeless are sharing all kinds of things in all kinds of slangs and dialects. And I'm sitting there like, I want to speak to you too, but I only have English. My Mandarin is coming. Translator. So there's one time where this homeless man said, I need to go home to my hometown to get my ID card. Can you please give me money? And first off, already we're like, give you money, sus. This person, super sus. But me and my the staff were like, as we were praying, we're like, God, it's like, trust this man. So we're like, okay, if you show up at the bus station tomorrow at this time, we will buy a bus ticket for you to go home. So the next morning, we're like, we don't know if he'll show, don't know if he will. Yeah, Cantonese, you know, Fong Fei Ke, FFKS, fly kite, okay? So he didn't fly a kite, and he actually showed up. Okay, and like, great, we bought him some food, we sent him on the bus. A few months later, this guy calls us and says, thank you for trusting me. I am now back. I have reunited with my wife in my hometown. And now we are together. We are working in this city and we'd like to treat you to dinner. And we were like, great. So I obviously wasn't dressed properly. I was wearing my slippers / flip-flops or thongs, whatever culture you come from. So I was wearing my flip-flops, thongs, and they brought us to this construction yard of this high, tall, very tall, high-rise building. And like, come, come. He brought us to their canteen, the workers' canteen, and treated us to a big meal. And it's like, with no like safety railings over the building, I went to the side, I was like, it's very tall. But God just showed me here that when I step out in faith, even when there's no guarantee, it can bring change, and it can bring hope, and it can bring life. And the next month, they treated us to another meal. They were just so thankful that through our small act of obedience, it reunited a husband and wife whose relationship was, estranged before. And it got them a job with IDs. No, we are not better than anyone else, no matter what kind of skill you have. But it's through our obedience and small steps of faith to Jesus to how can I bless someone else? How can I show Jesus to someone else? It could be being generous, giving some money to someone, stopping to pray for someone, or stopping to listen to someone. Yeah, I have many different stories. So, John 15. Oh. Yeah, and this is the verse I was talking about, China. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give to you. And yeah, I was in Perth. I think it's a few months ago. I saw this homeless guy on the street. And God is like, stop. I'm like, I'm in a hurry. Jasmine wants me home. It's like, talk to him. I was like, oh, okay. So I just sat down next to him. Hey, how are you? Then we talked. And it's like, I'm hungry. And he's like, I want pie. I'm like, oh man, why do you want pie? So being Asian, I didn't listen to him. And I got him a roast chicken instead. Because I was like, I don't know the pie shops. I know where the roast chicken is. So I, and obviously, 2 days later, I saw where the pie shop was, and I was like, now I know where the pie shop is. So I got to sit down with him, and he's like, you know, I used to always go to the church, and the pastor always talked to me. But, you know, I want to start to go back to church again, and so that the pastor can pray for me and walk with me. And I was obviously late after that, but it helped this homeless man just feel love, and to know that even though he didn't see the pastor for a long time, but he can still reach out to the pastor. And the fruit from the pastor's obedience was in this man, even though, and it got to be reignited back to life. Because this pastor was pouring out on this man consistently before. All right, we're almost there. All right, John 13, verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So in China, one of the things we did in 2017 was we brought a team of 5 of us staff, brought a team of 7 Chinese local youth to Manila to do an outreach. We were like, you know, with DTS, they are already Christians, they learn in this thing, but we want to get local church to experience missions. So we brought them to Manila to do missions. And I don't know if you ever had 5 leaders for whatever team, big or small. Is it easy to get agreement with 5 different people? I mean, husband and wives, you already 2 people, you can try to. oh, what God has united, let no man divide, right? But five different people, but because we had loved each other, we did life almost every day together. It was so easy. Like, you want to lead today? No problem. You lead. Just tell me what to do. And the five of us just worked so well in harmony. And it was done so well that I had to go for an emergency in another part of the city for one day, that the four of them was like, we got it. So they handled the team without me there. And one of the things was that I was trusting God that we would see salvation for the team, because we're really good for them to see on the mission trip. And I was like, God, come on, show these guys. And the first time I went for evangelism, I said, Jesus. Excuse me. And when we shared back, one of the team's like, we shared with someone about Jesus and they got saved. Everyone's like, oh, the salvation, like, oh, we shared and they got saved. We're like, yes, Jesus. Because this is the first day. And sometimes, you know, people warm up. I don't even know a mission trip. I've never shared before to a stranger. But they saw salvation the first day. And one of the other times, we were in groups. And we normally pray and ask God, is there anyone you want us to meet before we go? And God showed me a picture of someone in yellow. And we walked around the whole time, more than an hour. And there wasn't anyone in yellow. So I was like, oh. But I shared, oh, maybe it makes me seem less spiritual, right? Like, God, what God showed me didn't happen. But it's okay, God, I humble myself. Maybe I didn't hear from you correctly. So I was just sitting there, time was up. And then I was looking down, then I looked up, and standing right next to me was this person in yellow, bright yellow t-shirt. I was like, we still have time. So I got up, I shared with the person, and the person got saved. So I could have given up and said, oh, time is over, or it's probably not the person since they found me and I didn't find them. But God is creative. God is so creative. So God's heart for people is so much greater than what we could ever imagine. Sometimes we're like, oh, it's so hard, God this, but God is like, you don't know how much I love the lost. You don't know how much I love those who don't know me. So the world is yours, as in the world is God's. Matthew 28 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Psalm 67, verse 7, it says, God blesses us that the ends of the earth may fear him. Say again, Psalm 67, verse 7, God blesses us, you, that all of the ends of the earth may fear him. So I know, yeah, some of us are middle class and stuff in Perth, it's very comfortable. But you know, the end goal is not blessing here. But the end goal is that the world may fear him. Okay, we're almost there. So what does it mean for us? If he is so worthy, our response is to follow him. Okay? So there are three questions for you to think. If I want to know him more, is there a but? I want to know you more, God, but I already know you. It's the same, the Bible is whatever. I want to know you, but. Second, I want to be known as someone who loves, but this person doesn't understand me. This person is this. This person offended me. I want to be known as someone who loves, but. Okay? Third one, I want to make him known more, but I'm scared. I've never done it before. I cannot do it. What can I say? Do you understand? So the three areas, know God, love people, let God make God known. What is your but? Okay? And as we worship, it'll be something for you to really practically just give to God. I'm not sure where you're at, but it's something for you to consider, because we're all not perfect, but Jesus' love is committed to us, full, perfect. And he wants to work in and through us, through our simple yes to him in the day-to-day, to see change, to see breakthrough. And that's what the meaning of missional living is. So practically, can you surrender to Jesus? If you're not a Christian, hallelujah, came to the right place. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And yeah, you belong to him. And you can live a life free. But the freeness comes as we surrender every day, all that we are. Our thinking, attitudes, heart, emotions. To God is selfless, so I need to. Okay, this is our response. So, God is completely selfless, so I need to ... All right, and let the God speak to you. Practical things that you can do. Maybe someone offended you and you haven't talked to them in 2 weeks, or maybe you don't want to this, you don't want to that. But God's like, I've loved you, now you love them. Right, and the third, small steps of obedience. We can reach out, there are many people in need. So maybe for you, the step is, you know, praying to God, God, show me someone I can bless this week. Or maybe show me someone that I can tell them on the street, or in my office, or in the school, God loves you. Or if they don't like verbal, you show them the practical. Hey, can I treat you to lunch? Hey, I have this chicken. I know you like drumstick. So these two drumsticks for you, in case you're in doubt. All right? So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And in 1 John 4:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not a if you feel okay, if you feel this, if you've been serving for 25 years, you can only use 25%. It says, if you love me, you will obey me. Which is hard, but he enables us by his spirit. Yeah, so our First Light serves in Eagle City Mission. We serve at the pantry. Or if you want ways to serve, we can help you. There are many practical ways. My wife works with Australian Relief and Mercy Services. And yeah, we reach the families in crisis in the city. There are many practical ways. But yeah, this feeling like God loves us so much and it demands a response. Because his life is, love is so full, so rich, so real, that we will be denying his love when we don't do anything.